Good morning, everyone. This is Julie with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Welcome to our monthly MCO call. We will begin with Iowa Total Care this morning, as we always do, and we'll go ahead and take a quick roll call and see who we have on from Iowa Total Care today. Do we have representatives from Iowa Total Care on the line with us?
Hi, my name is Kim. I'm with Iowa Total Care. I co-manage the home health area of business. It's with our prior authorizations.
Welcome, Kim. Do you expect other folks to be on with you?
I do believe so, but there's been a little connectivity problem.
Okay.
My name's Laura Quinn. I am one of the concurrent review managers with Iowa Total Care.
Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
Do we have other folks you think are going to join us as well?
Yes, I believe so.
We have Tony Wietrich from Provider Relations.
Was that Tony?
Tony Wietrich, okay. And Jeannie Larson.
Welcome, Tony and Jeannie.
And our claims person, Hillary, is logging in right now as well.
Excellent. We've got a full crew today. Welcome aboard, everybody. We'll give Hillary a second to get in. Brandon is off today. So welcome, everybody. I guess we'll just start by saying it's been a week, of course, already. We know that many members were struck with the storm that came through on Monday. Some have had to evacuate. A lot of folks still do not have power as of today. We know that it's not been a very pretty week. So we'll go ahead, excuse me, and open it up for Iowa Total Care folks to give some opening remarks and updates of things that may have happened since we convened last month and any updates with the storm that came through on Monday on their end.
All right, thank you. This is Jeannie, Provider Relations Manager. And thank you for having us for our monthly meeting. I do appreciate the opportunity to be a part of the Iowa Healthcare Association meeting. Yes, we've had a lot of impact from a Iowa Total Care perspective. We are running at this time a 30% capacity in our provider services department. So if folks are trying to get through, please be patient with us. We have lots of folks as well. Including myself, without power, and have maybe redirected themselves to friends' homes or to other locations. There are some folks that aren't able to actually get into the office and such. So dealing with a lot of mayhem from our new friend that came through on Monday. So we do today have folks from our utilization management area, and shortly we will have Hillary on from our claims area. So why don't we kick it off with the three questions, ladies, that we received for our UM. So Kim and Laura, can you speak to those two particular questions?
Okay, this is Julie with the association. I'll go ahead and read those as folks on the call would not have seen those, so they kind of know what you're answering. So our first question is, can you explain the authorization process for home health agencies again, information that is needed at start of care, and then what information is needed for each recertification?
Sure, this is Kim. I can go ahead and speak to that. So for start of cares, we have four visits that do not require authorization. And the intent for those visits are for the assessments to be completed for services. So essentially, by the fifth visit, we do require auth. And so at the start of the care, what we need is an order from the doctor's order that is asking for the home health services care, an unsigned plan of care, and then essentially, the idea is that by the end of the cert period, we would have the signed plan of care. Any questions there?
If you have a question, feel free to either put it in the chat or on the bottom left of your screen. If you hover there, you are able to unmute yourself if you have a question on that.
This is Sherry from Optime. I thought that the first five visits that you didn't have to have the auth was only if they hadn't had previous care.
So it's four visits, and are you referring to a patient that has had care from another agency?
Yes.
So,
because sometimes we don't know that.
Okay. So I guess in those instances, I would recommend that you give us a call and let us know. We have a lot of home health agencies that do call in prior to an assessment to see where the patient is with those four visits.
Okay, well, we've kind of taken the stance that we just give auths for all of them. So what do we need to do when we first bring them on to make sure we're getting those auths?
When you first bring them
on. You know, what do we need to send in?
So the unsigned plan of care, the doctor's order, and the requirement for the plan of care to be signed would just have to be with us before the end of the cert period.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And so for a recert, what we are asking for is, you know, sometimes we completely understand that you don't always have time to get the most up-to-date plan of care signed. So what we will accept is the old signed plan of care, an updated note from like the last nursing visit, and then, of course, before the end of that cert period, the new updated signed plan of care. Any questions there?
This is Julie with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Just want to clarify one thing and ask a couple of questions. So folks that are doing a recertification visit are actually requesting the new auth 2 weeks ahead of when the current one expires. So at that point, you're not going to have
an updated note.
Unsigned plan of care because they haven't even been out. The five-day window isn't there yet. So that would not be happening.
Yep. So what we just ask is that you send in the old one that is signed and then some kind of a note that lets us know, you know, as in a nursing note, that lets us know that the patient still needs care. And essentially validation that the plan of care from before is not changing. If it is changing, we just need some kind of a notification and or order to move forward with that research.
Okay. Again, my clarification question is on the four visits that don't require the op. My understanding is those four visits, though, do need to be accounted for on the plan of care. On the start of care for them to bill out correctly. Is that correct?
If we have had some problems when they're not, so that is our recommendation, yes.
You don't need the auth for them if it's a new start of care, but they do need to get to the plan of care.
That's correct. It's just, yes.
Okay, perfect.
It's all about the dates.
Okay. So the second question was, has Iowa Total Care given consideration to not requiring authorization for certain home health services like the home health aid, similar to how Amerigroup has moved to the platform of not needing an auth for the aid because they were approving them across the board anyway?
I have not heard that we are going to be letting up on that recommendation or that requirement yet. I don't know, Jeannie, have you or any of your team heard anything about that?
I am so sorry. My phone does not have a good connection. Can you repeat the question?
The question
we're asking
go ahead. The question was, has Iowa Total Care given consideration to not requiring authorization for certain home health services, such as the home health aide, similar to what Amerigroup moved to, since the home health aide was pretty much never denied, so there was no need to get a prior auth for those. They don't require that.
And Jeannie, I have not heard that. I was just asking if you had heard anything.
Yes, no, we have not. We would have probably received the information from you, Kim, so I have to agree. I have not heard any additional information on that. Thank you.
I will take that back to our leaders, though, and ask that question.
Thank you so much, Kim.
You bet.
The last submitted question that we had that was sent out was regarding COVID rate relief for NF providers. Any detail on how that is going to be processed by the MCOs? Any guidance on how that should be billed by providers?
I hope you're not asking me. This is Kim, because I would have not know about that.
Nope, this would be
no, okay. We're gonna direct that question to Hillary.
Okay.
Sorry. Can you help us out with that? Yes, sorry, I was on double mute. So we did submit some feedback questions to the state the other day on this. So I believe it'll be posted on the Q&A. But basically, because they're having you build a condition code on the claim form, and it would apply to the entire claim, we asked that the COVID days be billed separately from the non-COVID days, just because there's no way to differentiate them otherwise on a UB claim form. So we just asked that those days be billed separately from the non-COVID days, so we can tell the difference, and then they're set up in our system to pay automatically. Are there any questions on that?
If you have a follow-up question or comment, you can either put that in the chat, or bottom left will unmute your line. I see we do have a question in the chat, and I think it was exactly the question that was submitted. Has guidance been provided for billing COVID add-ons? So I think you answered that for us.
Okay. Thank
you. That is the last of the submitted questions. We do have some questions coming in, it looks like. I'm hoping that folks from Iowa Total Care are seeing these as well. The next question is, so do we need to adjust claims for the original claim, ending it, and then a new claim for the COVID for those that have already been submitted then?
So you would have to do corrected claims, because otherwise we would have no idea which days were COVID days for those members. So you would have to do corrected claims, and in the IL, it goes based on the federal disaster time frame, which started March 13th, and obviously doesn't have an end date yet. So dating back to that date, you can submit corrected claims for those days.
All right, thank you. Oh, jumped on me here. Timely filing for adjusted SNF claims is 365 days from the date of service, correct? Is that correct? And then the follow-up question, is it a common issue that the 12 2019 adjustments are denying as timely filing?
So we did find an issue in our system with the timely filing logic, and we're trying to stop these on check run before they go out as denied for timely filing. So we are trying to update some of the logic surrounding timely filing and make sure that we're making exceptions for those claims to go through the system. So we're working on that.
So does the provider need to do anything, or are you working on your end?
Sorry, we're going to reprocess on our end so that providers don't have to do anything. And I believe there's already a project in for that. So those payments should start to pay out probably within the next 2 weeks because it was submitted about a week ago.
All right. Thank you so much. So the next question. So it sounds like the MCO is still working with IME to determine how to bill the COVID add-on, and that at this time should not submit those claims. This person spoke with Brandon Friday, and he said we are still awaiting IME to release an FAQ sheet for the COVID add-on that will supplement the previous IL released.
So the state contacted us and asked each MCO what billing requirements we would have for the add-on, and the answer I gave as to how to bill was what Iowa Total Care submitted. So you should be fine to submit your claims now. They just haven't released that FAQ sheet yet. I mean, if you would like to wait, of course you can, but that's how our system is set up to pay those claims.
Will you be putting something up on your website in regards to that in writing, or can you send something to Brandon in writing that we could put out in our bulletin?
I can definitely pass that through leadership and try to get something out there. I'm not sure if it'll be posted on the website or just sent to Brandon, but we'll get something.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, if that can come to Brandon, we'll get that pushed out to membership.
Okay. Yep.
Next question. So for those we have received, should we reach out to the provider rep?
Is that referring to time of filing?
I'm not sure. The person that submitted that, if you could unmute and let us know what that refers to.
Yes, for the timely filing.
Thank you.
You shouldn't have to because we went back and picked up all of the timely filing denials. So you shouldn't have to submit those to your rep. I would say if the project, once the project starts paying out, if you're still seeing some that didn't get picked up, then reach out to your rep. So I would wait probably 2 weeks to see if those pay out first because they should have all been picked up. And if you're still seeing some that haven't been reprocessed, then reach out to your rep and let them know.
Thank you. Next question. The question is the number of days that are billable, and I believe we're now back to this COVID rate. Only when positive, during testing period, while they're waiting, if they've tested patients and waiting to receive those results. What pieces are billable for the COVID add-on?
So I was going back through the IL letter earlier to revisit this as well. And it mentions during the test period as well, or COVID, or a positive COVID-19 diagnosis. But I did not see a day requirement. So we have not set one in our system at this time because there doesn't appear to be one in the IL. It may be something that we have to reach out to IME for clarification to make sure that they're not implementing one.
Okay. Next question. I was informed by my provider rep that IHCA was in the middle of several configuration system issue projects that was affecting claims. Has that project been completed? Several claims we have submitted are denied, and upon calling, the claim just needs to be resubmitted by the claim rep for reprocessing due to the error and denial.
So there would have been a few issues that could have impacted your claims, such as our provider like matching logic with the state file. That is one project that's in. If you had any of those denials, timely filing that we just talked about, client participation as well. We had an update to the file for that, and we're working through some of those. The big issues that would have impacted IHCA members are posted out on the website in the configuration log. I believe there's also some information dating back that you can see on there that may indicate whether your claims are still being reprocessed as well. Those would be the big ones.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next question. Can you bill for the COVID add-on for any admission and or readmission from the hospital since we must isolate them for suspicion of COVID? When the informational letter mentions a designated unit, does that mean as long as a resident was isolated in a room, or are there other criteria that need to be met?
So that part, we also need clarification from the state. We set these up so that if you have an isolation unit, and I'm not sure the definition on that for IME, that you could receive this payment. But I am not sure. They had in here that we were going to be auditing on the back end, but I don't know that we have the criteria yet to do that. So I think there's still some questions that have to be answered with regards to this program. But we don't have all of them either. So
and I know Brandon has submitted some questions as well, and I don't think he has gotten an answer back yet either, or we would have that out.
Right, and we've submitted some questions as well on our side related to, I mean, isolation units and number of days, if there's any limit, those kinds of things. And I think they may answer some of them when they publish the QA, but we have not received a response yet on some of those. So we are still waiting as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I do not see any other questions in the chat, but we'll give it a minute. If you have a question, we got one, okay. For the SNF facilities, has there been any consideration to extend the current TF extension for July through November 2019 data service claims from August 31st to a future date? I'm asking on behalf of all providers, as the Medicare crossover issue was only resolved as of July 27th. That doesn't leave providers much room to get any secondary crossover claims submitted to Iowa Total Care and can work through any denials that may pop up and or opportunity to rebill with a correction.
So I do know that the timely filing has been discussed, especially for system issues that we've had. We do make exceptions to the timely filing as necessary, and obviously the Medicare crossover, because of the date that it was resolved, would probably fall into that category as well. So we will be making exceptions for things that are system related issues on our side, and then reprocessing those claims.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to take quick notes too. We are still receiving denial for Medicare not being billed, even with the Z code on the claim. When will this be resolved? This is coming from the home health side of the camp for not having that EOB. Any updates on that?
So we have looked into this on the claim side. We're still waiting for an answer from our corporate partners. So I will have to get that from them and then give you feedback on that one, either via email, probably next week at this point, to try to give you a date for a resolution on that one, and then the reprocessing date.
So will you do sweeps to catch those and reprocess? Does the provider need to do anything on their end?
We would do sweeps on our side.
Okay.
So they wouldn't have to resubmit or anything.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Next question, why are some of the telehealth visits with the 95 modifier rejecting as inconsistent modifier / missing?
Are they rejecting, or is it a denial code you're receiving? I don't know if you can unmute, Sherry.
Let me look at the claim real quick and tell you. Okay. I just know that sometimes we get paid for them, but most of the time we don't. And like, okay. I said, the denial code is that missing modifier, not...
Okay, so that one's a denial in our system, and I know that we have modifier 95 set up. Would it be possible for you to send, or have you already sent, a couple of examples to your provider relations representative?
No, I haven't, but I sure can.
Can Yeah, if you could send a couple over, we can take a look at them and find out why it's happening, and then hopefully have a quick resolution for you. Usually modifier issues don't take that long to correct, but then we would go back and pick those up and fix those for you without you having to resubmit.
Okay. And then I have one more question, and this is on the NIF side. I thought that you guys had went back and corrected the rates issue that we had and was going to repay those. We haven't been paid for those.
Okay. We did do a big project for those based on the rate updates that we received. What was the name of your facility so I can look into yours specifically?
It's Davis Center.
Oh, Davis Center. Okay. Yep. I will look at those specifically and get you a response on that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Our next question is home health related as well. Are you requiring timely requests for prior authorization? We just had a situation that happened and we denied our appeal.
I will leave that one to medical management.
I don't think I understand. You got a denial and you appealed it and it was denied again.
Deb, are you able to unmute? Bottom left.
Hi, Julie. This is Deb. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So we had a situation where we accepted a patient, thought they would be a United Healthcare Medicare replacement. After we had him home for a couple of days, we realized he was not going to be homebound and switched him over to Iowa Total Care, put the pre-auth through, and when they called back, they did a partial denial, asked me to file an appeal because they said that it would be taken under consideration, and then they denied the request through the appeal.
Do you have a way of submitting me like an auth number or something so I can look into it?
I can. I just need a name and a number of the person I'm sending this information to.
Actually, an auth number would be great, and if you want to just put it in the chat, I can go from there. My name is Kim, by the way.
Kim, K-I-M. Okay. I'll get that information for you here in just a second. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Kim. Do we have any other questions? Feel free to either type those in the chat or unmute yourself on the bottom left if you have a question.
This is Virginia Gay, and I had a question regarding long-term care.
All right, go ahead.
We got the new rates for this quarter, effective 7/1, and we've been told that they'll be updated in the system by 8/20. I just wanted to make sure that that is still on track or see if you've already gotten them updated.
So I believe we already have them updated. There were a couple that we received later, so I'll have to check on yours specifically, but the vast majority of everyone's rates have been updated for this quarter.
Perfect.
So
are
I guess
you
I can,
able to let me know for sure, because we're holding claims until they are.
Yeah, I will take a look and make sure that yours are updated. It might be easier if I send over provider relations a list of the ones that went in later, and then they can have the reps contact you if you're one of those providers, because those will probably take until the 20th to update. But everyone who is on the initial file we received is already updated, which is the vast majority of all SNF providers or nursing facility providers.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Do we have any other questions? Feel free to type those out or unmute yourself, bottom left. Let's see. For nursing facility, do you expect the July data service claims then to pay at the correct rate since it was updated already, if the NF already submitted claims on Thursday or Friday last week.
Yes, those should be updated at the correct rates per the new rates we received effective July 1. And I'll send over the list of people who got updated a little bit later. And if you are one of those, then we will also try to hold them until those rates are updated on our side if you've already submitted them. But one of your PR reps will reach out if you're one of those. I think it was only 5 providers or so that we received the rates late. So if it was yours, we'll send a list to provider relations and then they can have their reps or your reps reach out to you.
Thank you. Looks like Kim, the auth number was put in the chat for you too.
I see that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions for Iowa Total Care here this morning? About another minute to see if anybody needs to unmute or type another question. Any other questions for Iowa Total Care this month? All right, we're going to give you a few minutes back of your day here. We will start the Amerigroup call at 11:30, so I am going to stop this recording and disconnect and reconnect for that call. As always, if you have questions between our calls, feel free to email those to Brandon@iowahealthcare.org. If you need an answer before the next call, we're happy to do that, or we'll get your question to the next round of submitted for next month. I want to thank everybody for joining today, especially our Iowa Total Care reps for being great partners with us. And lastly, just want to thank everybody for all your hard work out there and everything that you're doing to keep everybody safe. So have a great rest of your week, guys, and I'll hop back on here shortly. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.